Let's be short, living, and to the point. So typically the afternoon meeting really should be a fellowship with all the brothers and sisters. That's our desire. So we'll come to this last point on page 4. It's the priestly service. And one really important point is to carry the guilt, the debts of the people, the iniquity of the people. And it's very clear, we see with the Lord, that He did bear our iniquity. And if we have not really experienced the Lord and what He has accomplished in His humanity, then, you know, we always like to blame others. But we are not willing to carry their iniquity, to bear their iniquity. But this priestly service, you see how wonderful it is. And this priestly garment of the high priest is different. And if we see it, then we understand how the Lord bore the iniquity of all the people, the entire people, on His shoulders. And also, the building of the New Jerusalem is on His breast. And only the Lord can really bear this. And truly, He did bear it. God placed all of our iniquity upon Him. He is the Lamb. And Peter said, He is the fulfillment of Isaiah 53. He has borne all of our griefs and our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. I think only the Lord can do this. No one else. Even if we were prepared to do it, we would not be able to do it. You may be willing, but the capacity is not there. But praise the Lord, we have such a great high priest. And we see in Hebrews that after He accomplished the propitiation of our sins, He ascended to sit at the right hand of the Majesty on high. He alone is able to bear our iniquity. And the more we experience this grace and mercy, then, according at least to our lesser capacity, we would be prepared to bear the iniquities of others. If you have not learned this, then it is impossible to bear the iniquities of others. Then it is so difficult. And we experience that today. It's quite current for us. We'd rather blame others. We are not prepared to bear. We are people who like to be right.
Sehr wichtiger Punkt, ein
but a very important point regarding the priestly service. Is that the priests should bear the iniquity of the people. And if we are not prepared in the church life to carry out the priestly service in this way, then I don't know what I can say. It doesn't mean that we don't care and the people can do whatever they want and we will just bear the iniquity. No, that's not what this means. But the primary responsibility for everything that happens in the church life must be carried, must be borne by the priests. Unfortunately, in the church life, we are always blaming others. That's not good. If we always do this, then we cannot help anyone. So, bearing the iniquity of the people, although it's the third point in this section of the outline, it is a very important point. And if we carry out exercise in this way of going through all of these steps to enter into the most holy place, then we will also be in a position to bear the iniquity. So everyone is bearing not only his own burden, but also bearing the burden for others. So in a positive sense, it's very necessary for the building. But I rarely see leading brothers or priests who are prepared to do this. It's not so easy. We really need the Lord for this. Praise the Lord. And then we see point C, outline point 5C, to teach the word of God. This is really important. The priests must deal with the word of God properly and exactly. The service of the word in the new covenant, as well as the old covenant, is very important. You cannot underestimate the importance of it. The word of God, his living speaking, which is spirit and life and full of truth, and it cuts straight and is without compromise and does not have other ingredients and does not leave out anything, and it does not depend on whether I like it or not, or whether it suits me or not, or whether I feel offended or not. We don't have a choice. Priests don't have a choice. They are only messengers. Can you imagine a messenger opening a letter and reads it, but he reads something or writes something that is not the actual message? No. As the messenger, you have no right to change the contents. So it's so important that we convey the word of God exactly as it is. We cannot change it. Do not water it down. To say, oh, it's too strong, let's add a little water so it's not too strong. The apostle also speaks about the wine. to dilute the wine is something we cannot do. We should not dilute it. And we should not try to make a profit from the Word of God. That's even worse. The Word of God is not for profit. If you want to make a benefit or a profit, do that in the world. You can do that with many goods, with a Mercedes, with a Volkswagen, with a Porsche. There are so many cars that you can use to make a profit. But with the Word of God, please, do not try to do it. That's why Paul says, especially with regard to the qualification for an elder, but Peter also said it. You can see it in 1 Timothy 3 or 1 Peter 5. That they should not be greedy for money. Or they should not seek money. If they are seeking profit, then they are already disqualified. And so, the manner in which we handle or deal with the Word of God is very important. Let's read a few verses. 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians, chapter 2. And we've also already read 1 Corinthians, so now let's read 2 Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 17. For we are not as so many, peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ. Apparently, there are many who are peddling the Word of God. The brother can testify how often I have told the brothers that the messages from the conferences are not to be sold. Have you not heard me say this so often? They are not to be sold. They are to be shared for free. They are to be distributed. Because it is not our word, it's the word of God. How can we make a business or a profit with the word of God? And it says here so clearly, we are not as so many. There are many. There are many pastors who are very rich in the U.S., for example. They are millionaires. At least I know of one who earned $80 million a year. That's good business. So, let's do business. And there was a report about this, and it was a TV program. It's called 2020. It's a U.S. program, and they investigated another pastor to expose them. This one earned $40 million. Oh, that's also not bad. It's also sufficient. Because Christians are so superstitious and they believe everything without examining it. many are doing business or peddling the word of God. This is not good. Lord, may the Lord really save us from this. I can imagine one day when the Lord comes back, what will you say to him? What will you say before the judgment seat? But as of sincerity, praise the Lord, sincerity, purity, without any greed for profit, not even to have a thought of it, but as from God. Wonderful. We speak in the sight of God in Christ. You have to remember, not just the saints hear what you speak, but God hears everything. And he's listening closely. So remember the showbread table where the things have to be presented. The bread has to be presented to God for 6 days before you can eat it. So how often do you examine before the Lord when you are giving a word for the saints? I think today, or nowadays, many do not examine at all. Many are not doing this at all. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians, chapter 3, who is able? No one. But thank God that we are capable through God. It's our sufficiency is from God. So we speak in the sight of God in Christ. So to be in the sight of God means before his face. So we must have this sense in our inward being, this consciousness. We are speaking as though God is sitting and listening. He's sitting in the front row and he's listening to you speak. Can you imagine? You are giving a message and God is sitting in the first row and he is watching. I think then, oh, I would not be able to even get a single word out of my mouth. I would be like a mute person. I would just sit down and say, God, please, you come up here and speak, not I. We don't have this sense. And we think we're so capable. We can say a lot. We can say anything without spending so much time before the Lord to consider it. To spend time at this golden incense altar, to have fellowship with him and to receive the word from him. Moses did not speak his own words for 40 days and 40 nights. He spent on Mount Sinai, and everything that God wanted to say to his people, Moses received. And what about us? What do we do when we share the word of God? Have I not often said to you in your preparation for the Young People's Conference, what shall we do? Shall you search the internet? Ask the boss. fast and pray. And not just the week before the conference, but how far in advance did you meet? Did you get together 3 months beforehand? Praise the Lord. I'm glad that you did that. And then we also see the result. I don't just tell you this as a teaching that comes out of the verse. 2 Corinthians tells us this. But what are we speaking in the end? We would just be speaking nonsense. Then it's not God who is speaking, but it's people, it's man who is speaking. And in the end, the result is death, no life. It's killed. And then we still think that our message is so wonderful. And if there's a little bit of criticism about the message, and they say, oh, it was a little dead, we didn't receive anything, then you get angry. Then there are problems in the church life. So to speak the word is a very serious responsibility when you are speaking God's word. And as priests, we must act in a very conscientious way in the fellowship with the Father and the Son when we are carrying out this service. We have to remain in constant fellowship, learn to receive from Him, learn to have the mind of Christ, learn to set your mind on the Spirit, set your mind on the things that are above, spend time with the Lord. Let the Lord enlighten us to renew our mind. Otherwise, how can we understand what the Lord wants to say? Often it's not that the Spirit is not speaking to us or doesn't desire to speak to us, but we cannot grasp it. And then we're just like the Pentecostals. We are praying in tongues, but don't even understand what we prayed. That's not good. Oh, Lord. And then in chapter 3, we hear about the ministry of the new covenant. Let's read verses 5 and 6. 2 Corinthians 3, 5 and 6. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. This is such a sharing of the word of God. And if we carry out the ministry in this way, as it is written here by Paul, then the Spirit will write in our hearts and He will cleanse our hearts. Then it's not just an enjoyment without effect, but then the Spirit will write. The Spirit is the ink. and the ink is the nature, the essence that is inscribed into our heart. It's engraved on our heart. It's like a tattoo on your skin, but you cannot get it off anymore. It stays with you, so be careful what kind of tattoo you get. In the end, you will not be able to get rid of it anymore. Oh, Lord. We need such a ministry, such a service as priests. That's why Paul says that when you preach the gospel, it is a priestly service. We are not just preaching, but you are serving in the gospel in a priestly manner, as it says in Romans 1. Romans 1, 9.
Amen.
For God is my witness, whom I serve. The word serve means serving as a priest. I'm serving as a priest, not just serving, but serving as a priest. That's something different. He is serving with the consciousness that he is a holy priest. Whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I do research on the computer what I should say. Is that what it says here? No, it says without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. This is the kind of service that we must carry out. And how many of us are doing it today? And in order for our service to be well-pleasing before God, we have to learn this, not just to say, okay, I'm an evangelist, but serve in a priestly manner. And who is qualified to do this? No one. It is God who makes us sufficient. Then the ministry is a living one. And then we go on to 2 Corinthians 4, 2. But we have renounced... chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, which ministry is this? It's the ministry of the Lord. People say, oh, what is your ministry? They say, oh, I have my service. You have your service. That's nonsense. There is only the ministry or the service. Or as it says in 4:1, it's since we have this ministry that is committed to you. Since we have this ministry as we have received mercy. Yes, it is God's mercy that entrusted us with this ministry, because it is really His ministry. If it were not His ministry, then we wouldn't do it. But it says we do not lose heart. Why does it say that? Because there are so many problems. If you just give any old message, there are no problems. But if you speak about what God wants to do, then you will encounter difficulties. It's not for everyone to really treasure or value this kind of experience. Verse 2, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame.
Shame.
There are many hidden things of shame. You might not know them or notice them at first. Not walking in craftiness. This is very important. Nor handling the word of God deceitfully. We're not handling it deceitfully or altering it in some way. We may not do this. And if you do not have a fear of God, you will do something like this. You will be so blinded by greed for profit that you will be walking in craftiness. And you have no fear of altering or changing the word of God, or even to speak against it. Because otherwise you might lose your position, your influence. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience. Who is still doing this nowadays? Where can you still find such servants? There are very few. We can hardly find anyone who is serving in this way, so I hope that a new generation will be stirred up to serve, as it is written here, to restore this service.
Amen.
It's so wonderful to see this. And then we have 2 Timothy. It's actually enough just to read these verses. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Remind them of these things. Verse 15. Be diligent to present yourself. Handle the word of God in a proper and pure way. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. It would be a shame if we would twist the word of God or would handle it in a crafty or deceitful way and to add our own concepts and to use all these theological context and background, if we want to bring all this into the Word. Present yourself a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. This is the wonderful heavenly advice that Paul gave his co-worker, Timothy. Often we give bad advice, but Paul gave such a good piece of advice to his co-worker to divide the word of truth, rightly divide. But if you want to be able to do this and to train to do this, then you also have to apply verse 16, but shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. And he named two names here. Well, it's not so easy to read the Bible, but you also have to learn to shun the profane and idle babblings. You can't speak profane and idle babblings out of your mouth and then also want to speak the word of God. That will not work out so well. Verse 18, who have strayed concerning the truth. So it's so simple. If we are not dividing rightly the word of the Lord through the grace of the Lord, through the Spirit, then we will stray concerning the truth. And it's not only that you miss the goal, and it's also that you will mislead and lead astray many other saints. What a responsibility. If only I myself had this cancer,
okay,
that's maybe still okay, but if this cancer spreads through my words, through my message, and then at the end, everyone is corrupted, that is a great responsibility before God. Have you no fear? You think it's fine and good to just be a speaker? You think, I like to just speak? You think our mouth is just itchy to speak? No. It is a great responsibility, and James warns us. Don't all desire to be teachers and speak a lot. Why? Why did he give this warning? Because if you speak so much, you also will be judged more, a severe judgment. So shall we continue to talk about this? In the end, no one will speak anymore. Yeah. But it's better to speak less than to speak too much. Lord, be merciful to us. Yeah, have mercy on us. 2 Peter 1. It's healthy to read these words. Second Peter 1:16. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. So they really experience this for themselves. Verse 18, and they're speaking of what they have seen on the Mount of Transfiguration. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. So the apostles all handled the word of God in a serious way. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. How many of us receive the word in this manner? So it's not just a responsibility of the one who is giving the word, but it's also a responsibility of those who are receiving this prophetic word, who have heard the word and who are heeding it and examining it and considering it until the morning star rises in your heart. Otherwise, you just forget it, and in the end, you have no reality. You have only knowledge. If you have only knowledge, and we will not see the day in our heart, and you would not see the light of the morning star rising in your heart, and then the word is not so useful to us. Knowing this first, this is not that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. That means we should not try to understand the Word, the Scripture, through our private interpretation. Rather, ask the Lord and wait for the anointing to give you light. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God. Woe if the words come out of the will of man, then this book is worthless. Then the Bible is worthless. That's why no book, no matter who the author is, no book can replace this book, this word, which is the Bible. But holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Learn this. Learn this. Practice. In the beginning, it may not be so easy, but the Germans say that practice makes perfect. After 1 year, after 2 years, after 3 years, you will be able to do it. But start now. If you don't start now, then it's hopeless. But holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Who can describe this? You can only experience it. You can't describe it. Don't ask, how can I do this? I don't know. It depends on your relationship with the living God. How often do you enter into the most holy place? How often are you taking this way? If you practice this and you always go this way, daily you go in, you enter in, then it's possible. It's not a method, but it depends on your relationship to the living God and how much time you spend there. So all who have heard this word and do it, then we will be steadfast. And although we are tested from all sides by winds, by storms, by floods, by rain, no matter what comes our way, what we build will remain. I complained before the Lord. I said, Lord, I don't want to see another fall. I have no joy in this. Lord Jesus, and to judge righteously, point D. But you cannot judge if you have not practiced the prior two points, point B and point C. How can you reach point D on the outline, to judge righteously, if you have not gone through point B, which is to serve at the altar and behind the veil, and point C, which is to teach the Word of God? And that is very important. All these verses, they are a warning to the priests. You cannot regard, you cannot have any partiality, and also not try to look upon your profit or possible benefit to you, then you will not judge righteously if you take a bribe. Priests should not be able to be bribed. They should be unable to be convinced otherwise. No one should be able to change their mind. So without partiality, without a greed for profit, but really to judge righteously, James and the Lord also says there's no partiality with God in the church. It doesn't matter if it's an elder or a rich man or whoever. If it's wrong, it's wrong. And if it's right, it's right. Yes is yes and no is no. There, you should not have any fear of man, but we have fear of God. And so this last point on the outline, to serve with reverence and godly fear. Praise the Lord. We really must learn these verses. Let's read Ezekiel, because we've already read the verses in Hebrews and we're hopefully quite familiar with them already. Ezekiel 44. And it shall be, whenever they enter the gates of the inner court, that they shall put on linen garments. No wool shall come upon them while they minister within the gates of the inner court or within the house. They shall have linen turbans on their heads and linen trousers on their bodies. They shall not clothe themselves with anything that causes sweat. When they go out to the outer court, to the people, they shall take off their garments in which they have ministered, leave them in the holy chambers, and put on other garments. And in their holy garments they shall not sanctify the people. They shall neither shave their heads nor let their hair grow long, but they shall keep their hair well trimmed. No priest shall drink wine when he enters the inner court. These are very strict rules. We must really take heed how we serve God. And here we see that when they go within the gates of the inner court, they must put on linen garments, and they shall not have any wool upon them, and they shall not clothe themselves with anything that causes sweat, so long as they are in the gates of the inner court. and serving within the house, they shall have a linen turban on their head and linen trousers on their bodies. They shall not clothe themselves with anything that causes sweat. There are some different translations of German, so the words may be a little bit different. Yeah, they shall not clothe themselves with anything that causes sweat. Why? Because sweat in the Bible is not good. The first time it's mentioned is right after the fall of Adam, that they would have to labor with sweat. That means that they must now labor with their own strength. So if God's work has become so hard for you, it's not good. Doesn't mean that you don't have to do nothing. There is a lot to do. And Paul said, I have done more than all others, but without sweat. He said, not I, but the grace of God in me. So if we do all this service out of our own strength, it's very tiring. It requires so much effort. And in the end, you will sweat a lot. But the service of the priest in the sanctuary, there's no sweat. No sweat is permitted. That means that you carry out all these services in the peace and the rest of the Lord, not through your own strength, not in the flesh. And when they go out to the outer court, to the people, they shall take off their garments in which they have ministered, leave them in the holy chambers, and put on other garments. This is important. And the reason for this is so it says here, and in their holy garments they shall not sanctify the people. I think the German makes it a little clearer that they would not have the holy garments touch something that is unholy. So if something holy touches something unholy, it does not make the unholy thing holy. But in the opposite way, if something that is unholy touches something that is holy, it will make the thing that is holy unholy, unclean. That's astonishing. It means that it's not so easy to sanctify something that is unholy with your holiness. But the opposite direction, it's so easy to take something that is unclean or unholy and make something that is holy unholy. So don't think you're so capable and good to convince and talk to everyone. I just have to help him. I told him, don't do this. No. Oh, don't you have any love for the people? We have to go talk to the people and convince them. But in the end, those who wanted to help came back being as exactly as unholy as the people they were trying to convince. They went out holy. They came back unholy. Generally, it's this way. And priests must learn this, to serve with reverence. This is very important. They shall neither shave their heads, nor let their hair grow long.
Oh, Herr Jesus, kein Schäden.
To shave the head is not good. That means you're showing, you're exposing yourself as the head, and you are exercising your own authority. In the New Testament, the men are not permitted to have a covering because that displays the authority of the Lord. And the women, it says, should have long hair because it signifies that they are covered and that they are not showing their own authority, but rather they are under another authority. Well, those are two extremes. If you let your head be shaved completely, then you'll have a big bald head. That means you are self-centered and self-willed, and you do everything out of your own decisions. No one can tell you what to do. You're so strong. You are self-willed. On the other hand, if you have long hair, it means that you say yes to everything. Even if it's wrong, it's okay. Everything is okay. You see things that are not right, but you say nothing. You have nothing to say. And priests should not be this way. We should not be self-willed, but we should also not accept everything. We are one or the other extreme. Don't be someone whom no one can tell what to do. There are saints. No one can tell them anything. No one can tell them what to do. Everything has to come from them. Even which tree has to be planted outside the meeting hall. Nobody can tell me what to do. I decide. Everything has to be done exactly according to how I say. And you don't let anyone tell you differently. That means you have a big bald head. You have a bald head. And all the saints have very long hair. And everything that the bald one says, the long-haired saints say amen. They have nothing left to say. That doesn't work. That's not possible. I know it sounds funny, but Lord Jesus. And in verse 21, it's important. It says, no priest shall drink wine when he enters the inner court. So when they enter the inner court to serve, they shall not drink wine, because wine, it makes you to be not sober, and you will not be able to judge righteously. And spiritually speaking, wine is not just the sort of wine that you drink with a meal. But there is much enjoyment that can make you drunk. You can be drunk with power. There is a wine of power. A wine of authority. You've tasted so much of this authority that at the end you're addicted to it. Are you addicted to authority? Are you addicted to power? To boasting? Are you addicted to yourself? To yourself seeking? Well, in the end, you have a problem, and we all will have a problem. Because then you will not be able to judge clearly, to discern. And if you are no longer clear, then please, don't get in a car and drive. Otherwise, you will cause accidents. It's dangerous. So, dear brothers and sisters, let us learn this to see how serious this priestly service is. And we see this example of Nadab and Abihu. God, there is no partiality. He doesn't say, oh, well, because they're sons of Aaron, they get special treatment. Or they will be treated differently. No, there is no partiality with God. So right after God gave such a clear instruction, they went and they did nonsense. Leviticus 10, they did that which God had not commanded them. And so you know the story. We don't have to repeat the whole story. But it is serious if we as priests are just self-willed and presumptuous. If we serve God in a presumptuous way, and the source of that is we do not have any reverence and we have no godly fear. We do not give God the honor. So we all must learn to have godly fear, to serve with reverence. Amen. Tomorrow morning, if you have time, before the meeting, we might speak about the consecration of the priests. Or tomorrow morning during the meeting, sorry. So we must know that the consecration is not so simple. It's not just raising your hand and saying, okay, Lord, I consecrate myself, and okay, you're done. That would be too easy. So may the Lord show us something. Praise the Lord.